saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will reign, they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. These are some of the most difficult scriptures in the book of Revelation. And these scriptures have been grossly mistranslated by many, many Christians. One thing with the book of the Revelation has no chronological order. You cannot take it like this happened now, and this happened later, and this happened a little bit later. St. John is in ecstasy. He's seen a vision. And there's a picture that he's seen, and he looks at one side of the picture, and then he goes to the right side, and then to the center, and goes back to the left side again. So the people that try to interpret the book of the Revelation in a timely or chronological fashion, they fail tremendously. So let's let the authentic interpretation of the church fathers guide us into this study. St. Andrew of Caesarea explains that in the scriptures we can find two lives, two deaths, and two resurrections. We have to be able to explain and clear what these all things mean before we can get to the 1,000 years and how is that to be interpreted. So we have two lives. The first life is the everyday life that we know of. We are born, we grow older, we multiply, and we die. That is the biological life. The second life is the spiritual life. The spiritual life. If we keep God's commandments, we have eternal life. We also have two deaths in the scriptures. The first death is the death that took place after Adam and Eve fell. It is the biological death that will await every one of us. The Bible says it is necessary for every human being that lives to die once. And I believe from this scripture we get that Enoch will be coming back because Enoch did not taste death. I believe you'll find that in Jude. Enoch was liked so much by God that did not taste regular death. The same thing with Elijah. Elijah did not taste regular death. He was pulled up in the heavens by a chariot. And our church fathers interpret that these two olive trees, the two prophets that will come back during the years of the Revelation, will be Enoch and Elijah. So getting back to the two deaths, this first death is the temporary death. The second death is if we happen to live a very sinful life, And when the other life comes, we go to hell. That's called the second death. In this life, we also have two deaths. The first death is the death of sin. If we live in sin, we're actually dead in our sins. There's also a good death in this life that St. Paul talks about. I must put to death my sinful nature, fornication, evil deeds, this and that. And he talks about that in, I believe, in Colossians. I must put to death my sinful nature. My evil passions must be put to death. So we have the first resurrection and the second resurrection. When I put to death my sinful nature, when I put to death my sins, then I resurrect. I begin to live again. And last week, our church celebrated our birthday, which is us, the prodigal son, because everybody sins. Even if we sin a little bit, we are a prodigal son. A man had two sons, and the younger one asked his father to give him his inheritance. And the younger man went to the big city, and he spent his inheritance. He wasted the father's substance. The ousia, as the Greek says. He began to sin, and he became dead in his sins. He decided to repent and come back. And when he was coming back, the father said, he opened his arms, the loving father, and he said to the oldest brother, who was a little bit upset, the oldest brother said, I've been working for you all these years, and you haven't given me anything to go party with my friends. And now the younger one comes back. He wasted half of your land, and you gave him the fatted calf. And the father said, my son, your brother was lost, and now he is found. He was dead, and now he lives again. So he was dead in his sins, but now he resurrected. He repented. He returned to God. This is called the first resurrection. In this chapter 20 of the Revelation, that's exactly what it means when it says this is the first resurrection. And this is very important. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. Blessed is the person who is spiritually resurrected. The spiritual person who is living the life of the true gospel. The second death has no power over this person. So the first resurrection is to live a spiritual life. Where? Here on earth. Simeon, the new theologian, says that if we don't see Jesus Christ here on earth, let's not hope to see him at the other life. Of course, we're not going to see Christ in person. It's allegorical. We're going to see Christ. We're going to feel Christ in our lives. first death, once again, is the death that happened to Adam and Eve after they ate the fruit. The first death. They died. In what way? They lost the inheritance of the Father. They got away from paradise, and now the devil was able to conquer them. He was able to conquer their children. Cain killed Abel. And now we have the first resurrection is the spiritual resurrection that we get by living out our baptism, by simply becoming reborn, by becoming spiritual. John 5:24-29. Jesus will say, John 5:24, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sends me, who sent me, has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed over from death to life. Death is the death of evil deeds. Life is the spiritual life, the first resurrection. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word, whoever hears me now and changes, gives up the old life, gives up the evil deeds, passes over from death to life. So farther down, I tell you the truth, a time is coming, and the time is now when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. I tell you the truth, a time is coming, and the time is now when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. This is the first death. Those that will hear the voice of the Son of Man are dead in their works, but if they hear, they will live. They will be in the first resurrection. Also, in Ephesians 5:14, St. Paul says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And in John 5:28, now we're going to talk about the second resurrection. So the first resurrection is here on this earth to be reborn, to follow the church, to develop a spiritual life, to strengthen that spiritual life, to make our calling secure. That's the first resurrection. And in John 5:28, do not be amazed. For a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those having done good things to a resurrection of life. Those having done evil things to a resurrection of judgment. And this is the second coming of Christ. So Jesus is teaching us here that the graves will hear his voice. The people in the graves. And of course, even if they died at sea and there were no graves, they'll still hear his voice. The sea will give up its dead. Every person that died a natural death, will hear the voice of the Son of Man and will resurrect. This is called the second resurrection. Everybody will go through the second resurrection. Everyone. Now, the only difference is those that resurrect, if they did good deeds, they resurrect to a life of eternal life, and that's the second resurrection, to go into the kingdom of God. And those that did evil things, did not believe in the Son of God, did not believe in God, those will resurrect, but they will go into eternal fire, and this is called the second death. So the second death is in the lake of fire, and it is for people that did not believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, that's where the devil, the false prophet, and also all his followers and the Antichrist will go in the eternal torment. Now here it says, Jesus says about these two deaths, do not be afraid about the first death. The first death is when our body dies. Jesus says, do not be afraid about those who can kill your body. Be afraid about him who can throw your soul and your body in the lake of fire. So, also in Revelation 21:8, it says, the cowardly, the unbelievers, and all liars will be thrown in the lake of fire. This is the second death. So we all understand this. The second death is at the second coming, after the judgment, lake of fire. First death is this biological death that we're all going to meet someday. First resurrection is the spiritual resurrection that we are supposed to live as Christians in Christ. Second resurrection is when our bodies and our soul become reconnected again at the second coming. Okay? And here the Bible says, happy and holy is he who takes part in the first resurrection. The first resurrection. This is very important. To be and take part in this first resurrection, we must become children of light. It is not enough to just come to church a couple times a year and light a candle. That's not going to do it. We must be born, reborn spiritually. And if that happens, we do not go into judgment. We are not going to be judged, but we will pass from death to life. Our souls will not go through judgment if we become partakers of this first resurrection. Our church fathers and our church teaches this very basic teaching that the minute we die, we know at that point there's a preliminary hearing, let's call it, and if we are living a spiritual life and we are partakers of the first resurrection, we pass immediately into paradise. Once we're in paradise, there's no change whatsoever. This is a basic teaching of our church, that before Christ came, there was Hades. We teach this in Sunday school all the time. Hades. Right after Christ died on the cross, he descended into Hades, divided Hades into two. Paradise and Hades. So everyone who lives a spiritual life, and the first one was the thief on the cross, he was the one who repented. He went into paradise. And the Bible says, happy and holy is he who takes part in this first resurrection. Do you see now why we honor the saints? Because they have become holy. The saints are reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. The 1,000 years is the time between the first coming of Christ and his second coming. That's the 1,000 years. And the saints are reigning with Christ right now for 1,000 years. It is a symbolic number, an allegorical number. Saint George is reigning with Christ. He's being glorified. He has thousands of churches throughout the whole world. Saint Nicholas, he's reigning with Christ. He has thousands of churches throughout the whole world. All our saints, they are reigning with Christ right now. 1,000 years is not a real number. It's an allegorical number. It is simply a round number. Jesus talked about the 10 talents, the 10 minas, the 10 virgins, the 100 sheep, the 1,000 years, the 10,000 angels. These are all allegorical numbers. The 1,000 year is a symbolic number, and if we take it literally, we're going to fall into one of the greatest false teachings of all times, which is called chiliasmos, which the Jehovah's Witnesses are teaching, and a lot of the other denominations in Protestantism today, not all of them. This 1,000 years has been misinterpreted by a Jew, even during the life of Saint John, the apostle that wrote the Revelation. His name was Kerinthos in the first century. Even during the life of John, he wanted to give a twist to the gospel to accommodate the expectations of the Jewish faith, who wanted a materialistic kingdom here on earth. So Kerinthos was beginning to teach, okay, well look, after Christ comes, he will reign for 1,000 years with his saints, and his saints are going to be able to enjoy themselves with Christ for 1,000 years, which is basically what the Jehovah's Witnesses are teaching. They have misinterpreted some scriptures out of the gospel, and they're simply saying that at one point Christ will come, I guess around year 6000 from the creation of Adam and Eve, around year 6000. Now, how are they going to figure out which year will be year 6000? They only know. But this is how they interpret. They simply say that, okay, we're going to have 6,000 years until Christ comes again. And then he's going to reign for 1,000 years. That makes it 7,000 years. 7 days of creation, 7,000 years. They take Peter that says with God, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. 7 days of creation, 7,000 years. Does not work out. Scripturally, it does not work out for many reasons. They're also saying that we're going to be on this earth for 1,000 years. Only the saints, only the good people, only the saints will resurrect before the second coming. And they will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. That's anti-scriptural, as we're going to show in a few minutes. A couple other things that they say is you're not going to need hearses anymore. There'll be no death. People will pick up their phones and talk to Abraham, and they are making such a materialistic type of thing, this life on earth, and the gospel speaks of no such thing. That's anti-scriptural. This type of heresy was fought very strongly by the church. The false teaching was fought by a number of church fathers, including Origen, Dionysius of Alexandria, Saint Basil, Saint Gregory the Theologian, and St. Augustine and St. Hieronymus in the West. But the third ecumenical council of our church would excommunicate anybody that in the future would believe in that teaching. They simply dogmatized that this is a false teaching at 281 after Christ in Ephesus. So the Orthodox Church has totally, totally denied this type of teaching, and the entire Orthodox Church maintains that this 1,000 years is an allegorical number. Christ will not come back 1,000 years before his second coming, because now we introduce a third coming, first coming, 1,000 years before his second coming, you got a coming in between. That is anti-scriptural. We only know of two comings. And of course, it goes against the teachings of our Lord. The parable of the net clearly tells us that the fish, the good fish and the bad fish, will be separated all at once at the end of times. Matthew 13:49. So it will be at the end of times, Jesus says. Also, the parable of the weeds. You know, in the church, we're going to have weeds, and we're going to have the good wheat. And some of the apostles or some of the servants said, Master, let's pull out the weeds and get rid of them. And the master said, no. Let's wait until the end of times. And then the wheat will be separated and the weeds will be thrown into the lake of fire, into the fire. Also, a very powerful scripture in Acts 3:21. Christ will stay in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything. So once again, Christ will stay in heaven until the end of times. He's not going to make a quick stop in the clouds, pull up the saints,